It was in Elul of Tavshin Lamed Aleph that first entered Rebbe's Shir in Yeshiva. We were learning Bava Kamma. I remember the first day of Shir, we were sitting in the Shir room in the third floor, first hall. And after learning B'chavrusa, Rebbe gently banged on the table. We gathered around to hear the first Shir, the opening Shir in Bava Kamma. Rebbe began the Shir with the Nachlus David says, and I didn't have a clue who the Nachlus David was, what the Nachlus David was. The Nachlus David had a heart about the difference between Avos and Tolados, distinction between Shabbos and Tuma, and the Zikin is more like Shabbos. And it occurred to me that the idea of Avos and Tolados is very appropriate when we're thinking about Rebbe. Because I'll tell us that Kol Malamed is Ben Chavera Torah, Malav Akasov Kiilu Yalado. So in a sense, we're not only Rebbe's Tamidim, and Rebbe is not only our Rebbe, but he's our Av, we are his Talados. There are Rishonim who learn that even not only can an Av have a Talada, but even a Talada can have a Talada. And therefore, Rebbe has been Zocha over a period of over half a century in Yeshiva, to Mimamed, Tamidim, Tamidei Tamidim, and by now even Tamidei Tamidei Tamidim. And the idea that generations of Tamidim, of Toladas, have been zochet to learn either directly or indirectly Rebbe's Torah. And therefore it's a tremendous course and a cover for us here at Beis Tfilah Yonah Avraham to hear Divrei Torah, Var Hashem Zu Halacha,
thank you very much. I'm surprised that I began with a Nachla, so. Okay. I apologize for coming so late. I apologize, I didn't pick this topic and I didn't really have that much time to prepare. So you have to bear with me. My connection with Rabbi David goes back to elementary school. My father was a rabbi in Philadelphia, and the local Beth Jacob, the co-ed day school in Philadelphia, only went to the fifth grade. So my parents had to send me to New York to stay in the Bronx by my grandparents, to go to Salanti Yeshiva, and the Davids lived in the same apartment building. So it goes back to that time. We have a din in the Gemara, Eina Noa LeKarkos. It doesn't mean that the Parsha of Ainoa, there's a prohibition. You're not allowed to overcharge someone for an item. You're not allowed to fool the mocher into selling it for less than it's worth. The prohibition of Ainoa both applies to the one who's selling and the one who buys. So the Torah, so the Gemara learns up in the Pasuk, Chesimka, Akonim Yada Misecha, Yada Ranik, Yada Yad, Ainoa doesn't apply to Karkois. So the Rishon Machon says, how can it be? The Chumash gives the example. If you sell a house and Eretz Yisrael to somebody else, you should, a house or a farm, you should realize that you're going to get it back. If it's a ste'achuzah, you're going to get it back when it comes in. Kippah shel yevel. She'd fix the price accordingly, assuming that he's only going to have it for 10 years because it's going to come in. Kippah shel yevel, he's going to get it back. So the original example that the Chumash gives about Ainoa is about karka. How can the Tanaim learn out from the pasuk Eino Noa LeKarkos? But the Ramban explains there the kitzer, and the Menchas Chinuch elaborates on that Ramban, that the Chazal saw in the Parsha that there were two parts to the din of Ainoa. There's a prohibition and there's a penalty. Otherwise, where did they see a penalty? So the prohibition of Ainoa even applies to Karka, even applies to Akum. Eino Noa LeAkum means that there's no penalty. If you fool the Nachri into paying more than the item is worth, you violate the Adera of Ainoa. The Mishkan and Zankin has such a truth. Eino Noa LeAkum means the penalty isn't there. And if it's metatlan, then not only is there a prohibition, then there's a penalty of Ainoa as well. So there's Eino Noa LeKarkos. There's no penalty by Karka Deisa. There is, but there's no penalty. What if a person hires a worker for him? Is there a din of Ainoa? Schiris, if you hire a worker, there's schiris batin. Gemara says if you rent an automobile, there's a din of Aynoa. If you rent karka, so schirus is nemka liyama, so there's not another karka. But if you rent an automobile, you rent a wagon driver to take it by wagon, so you're renting the use of the wagon, so there is a din of Aynoa. So what if you hire a worker? Is there a din of Aynoa? So there's a big machlekes harishon. Some shouldn't say the din of Aynoa, the penalty of Aynoa, doesn't apply if you're renting something. It only applies if you're hiring a worker. There's no din of Aynoa. And we assume that the din of Aynoa does apply, and we follow the Rambam. The Rambam says that we distinguish between a poel and a kaplan. That if a person is paid by the hour, paid by the day, paid by the month, so then that's dina kikarka. But
Oshen mishpat.
When the adam hukshel karka
related to
so the din is that there's no penalty by no in such a case. But if you have if a person is a poel and he gets paid by the hour or by the day or by the week, then it's like you're hiring the person, like you're renting the person. So that's Aina Nola Karkoz. But if he's a kaplan, he gets paid by the job. If he completes this job, whether it takes him an hour, it takes him 25 hours, it takes him 25 days, he gets the same amount of money, then he's not getting paid by the hour, so he's not needed to get it. If he's a poil, he gets paid by the hour, then he's like an Evid in a certain sense. Poil is like an Evid a little bit, so I bought him Hukshin the Karkoz. But if it's a kaplan, then there's no dinner by law. So the Shulchan Aruch has a situation. I hire a worker to take me by wagon to another city, and somebody cheated the other one. Either the wagon driver cheated the customer, or the customer cheated the wagon. Either he charged too much or too little. So is there a din of Aynoa? So there are two things happening over here. I'm paying the wagon driver as a poil. Maybe a poil, a kavna, whatever, you have to figure out whether he's getting paid by the job, he's getting paid by the hour. And then I'm renting the use of the wagon as well, the use of the wagon, the use of the horses. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to prorate it, you have to figure out how much of the schiras, we fixed the amount, how much of the money goes for the wagon driver, and how much of the money goes for the rental of the horse and the wagon, the amount that's for the horse and the wagon. That's the din of Yesh Anoa, because it's metalpun, but the amount of the money that goes to the poil, if it gets paid by the hour, it doesn't get paid by the job. And it's a poil, it's not a kaplan. So a poil, there's no penalty of Anoa. The Yesh Anoa is not a penalty, it's nothing. So here, before the whole COVID began, so in America, a lot of people already paid in advance, they were renting rooms in Florida to be at a Pesach program. And then about Purim time, Purim, day after Purim, and everybody realized that there's COVID and it's not trying to go. So a lot of people pay part in advance or everything in advance. The shaila was later on, nobody went to any of the Pesach programs. It was too dangerous. So the shaila is, are they entitled to get the money back? So I think you have to break it down to its component parts. They give you a fixed amount of money. But for that amount of money, they're renting you a room. That's Chivas Karka. We're not talking about Anoa now. We're talking about what are you paying for? So you're paying for food. They're delivering food. You're not necessarily going to eat all the food. They give you so much food, your plots is to eat all the food. But they charge you according to the maximum, that you may eat so much food that it's going to cost so much money. So they're selling your food. They give you waiter service. That's Schiras Poelim. They're going to clean your apartments. That's Schiras Poelim. And you're using the apartment. That's Schiras Batim. So you have a whole bunch of things happening. So you have to prorate everything that you're paying for. Some of it goes for buying food. Some of it goes for renting an apartment. Some of it goes for paying the salary of the workers. Minaf Kamina, they didn't overcharge. We're not talking about Aynoa. I just quote the mashal from Aynoa that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you hire a worker to take you, a taxi cab driver to take you, so there's no Aynoa for the taxi cab driver if he's paid by the hour because he's like an Eved. Of course, you prorate the amount of money. Part of it goes for the rental of the car, kind of a boat. Part of it goes for the schiras payolim. So here also, part of it goes for paying for the food. That's a mecca. Part of it goes for renting the apartment, and part of it goes for the schiras payolim, to pay the waiters and to pay the people who are going to clean the rooms. So let's go one at a time. So schiras payolim. I hire a worker. The Gemara gives an example. I hire a worker. I have a whole bunch of workers to water my field. In the morning, they should come. According to Din HaMishnah, according to the Pasuk in Baruch HaNafshi, Yekzi Adam Mufolo, the Lavdasa Yadi Orev, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that a person is a pile. Believes the word, I think, from Alos HaShachat, they'll say Sakrochon, something like that. That's what the Rishalmi has, the famous Din, that's to hire a worker to work for me. And then he worked from 9 to 5, and the end of the week, he wants to get paid, whatever, $300 a day. I agreed to pay him. He worked 9 to 5 every day, and then he wants to get paid the end of the week. So I said, what do you mean? But you didn't work from Alois HaShachat till Tzeisah Kochavim. He said, never heard it. What's Alois HaShachat? I never heard of it. He said, it's a pasuk in Baruch HaNafshi. It's a Mishnah. The worker is supposed to work from Alois HaShachat till Tzeisah Kochavim. So the Gemara says, if the minig amakim is that everybody works from 9 to 5, so it's self-understood, it's mulva me'elav, that the dinya nechumish doesn't apply. You're not mechuyif to work from Alois HaShachat and say Sakuchav. Masna mashkasa b'tar p'davish l'mam and Tanai Kai. Even though you never made the Tanai here, it's self-understood, whatever is the minig amakim is considered kila yisnum. So that's the original Yerushalmi that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that minig oiter halacha. Some people think, if as long as you have a minig, even if it's keneged, it did, you follow the minig. That's what the Magen Avraham says in Hilchas Purim, like clapping Haman. He says, that's a problematic minig. You make noise, and a lot of times people are going to miss a word or two from the Mikra and the Gila, so that's no good. The Ramah says, no, we have to observe all the minhagim, even if it seems a little questionable. If the minig is the minig basikin, if the minig was approved by Talmid HaChamim, the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, Tosfos on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra points out, you see from the Mishnah that sometimes there's a minig shtus that you're not allowed to follow. Because the Mishnah says, Hakol Kaminik Amdin, how thick the wall has to be. If you have two neighbors and they agree to make a wall, the Mishnah says that it's real gosses creasing grain, how thick does the wall have to be? Then it says, Hakol Kaminik Amdin. So once you say Hakol Kaminik Amdin, well, you have to waste time to say how thick the wall should be if it's real gosses creasing grain. Rabbi Tam says, no, if the minik is that it's thicker, the one says in the Mishnah, that's a minik. Shdusi, not mechuyif to follow that minik. That's the famous Rabbi Natan, the Kanye Shlomo, that there is some minhagim, the minik shtus, you're not allowed to follow. There's the famous Jewish Rabbi Natan that's quoted, if you look at the Mordechai and Gitman of Pevov, when the Mishnah gives the Nusach of the Get, Hariyap and Tavis Lachalodam, Hariyap and Gurechman, Hariyap and Tavis Lachalodam, so on the bottom of the page in the Mordechai, they have the milk Shilti Gibbarim. So there, the Shilti Gibbarim quotes a Jewish Rabbi Natan has a famous line that they quote in all the history books, that the word minhag is spelled mem, nim, hun, mem, nun, hey, gimel, the same as it says gehenim. Gimel, hey, sometimes you observe a minhag, you go straight to gehenim. So you got to be careful to make sure that it's not a minhag shtus. It shouldn't be a minhag shtus. So the Yerushalmi says minhag like a halacha. People think, you have a minhag, you can ignore all the halachas. No. The Magen Avraham explains in Hilchas Purim, minhag like a halacha, the din has hamotzi mahaver all of her right. Whenever there's a suffix moment, whoever is muhsik holds out to the money. So the fellow worked his head off a whole week, 9 to 5. And the balabas of the company says, I meant from Alois HaShachat, he'll say Sakuchovim. And the worker says, I never heard of it. Who ever heard? That's what it says in Baruch HaNafshin. Alois HaShachat, I thought he meant 9 to 5. So it really should have been Hamaytze Mechaleh all over. It's a Sotik Maman. Is the balabas muhif to pay him the $300 a day that he promised he didn't work a whole day? It's a dispute whether he meant 9 to 5 or he meant Alois HaShachat. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. The minig hamakom that you only work from 9 to 5 is zorik the halacha hamotzi mahaver all of harai, because it's not a sotik mamon. It's a vadai. It's a vadai that whatever is a minig is kibul hisnu. And if hisnu, if they made up, that is 9 to 5. So you have to pay $300 working for 9 to 5. Doesn't mean minig is zorik halachas. There's a conflict between a real din and a minig you observe. The real din, you don't observe the minig. That's a famous, became famous in recent years. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Korban Pesach. The Rambam describes when you shech the Korban Pesach and you broil it, you're supposed to broil Rosh al-Karov al-Kubi, you're supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. So he says you have to cut out the chutei chelev and the chutei dam. If you're going to broil the Korban Pesach, the tuchut bechelev in the neck of trach, you burn with tuchut edam. If we saw flesh and you brought flesh, it'll get out all the dam. That takes out the dam and the capillaries, but it doesn't take out the dam and the arteries. If you have big arteries or big veins, you have to cut them out. You can't assume you're going to salt the arteries and all the blood is going to come out. The salting or the broiling takes out the dam and the capillary with a little bit of blood. Whatever's left is considered dina kibasar, so that's mutter. So the Rambam writes that you cut out the chelav and the dam, you broil it korban pesach, and after you broil it, then you cut out the ginal nashim. So the Ravid is quick to attack the Rambam, and he writes in his sharp language, if I would be there, I would take the men's korban pesach, throw it on the floor, and tell them, treif, you're not allowed to eat it. You broil the korban pesach with the ginal nashim, you just made a treif. The whole flesh of the korban pesach is balei the ginal nashim. The stakatela. The Rambam says, if they broil it, you don't make lamb chops and then you broil it. You're supposed to broil everything all together. Then you cut it up to make lamb chops. So why does he allow you to broil the korban pesach? You have to cut out chut the chel of the dam should make treif. So why doesn't say you have to cut out to get on Hashem? So the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam explains that we pass in and begin the nice and tam. We pass in every day of chule and begin the nice and tam. So the get on Hashem doesn't make treif. So that's not a problem. What about the Shuman Hagid? Shuman Hagid is not, the Gemara says, not Asma, not Torah, but we don't eat it. So the Shuman Hagid should Asma. So there's one opinion in Taisus that since Shuman Hagid is only Asma, the Rabbanah, but to Gid. So since Gid Anasha, ain't the Gid in the Nasa, and Tan Gid Anasha does Nasa, so the Shuman Hagid can't be Machama than the Gid. So the Shuman Hagid doesn't Asma either. So the case Mishnah says, but the Rambam doesn't hold like that opinion in Taisus. The Rambam holds that it does Asma. So how do you eat the korban pesach? True, the gid on asher doesn't asher and we give him a nice and time. It doesn't give him the same as time. But the shuman hagid balasa the whole korban pesach. The case Mishnah says, look in the Gemara. The lashon Gemara per gid on asher is shuman hagid is mutam in our Torah, but it doesn't say it's awesome in the rabban. The lashon Gemara Yisrael kidosh inagu bo iser means that the Jewish people adopted as a minik not to eat shuman hagid. So he says you have a conflict. The Kesef Mishnah said you have a conflict between a real din. You have to brawl the Korban Pesach entirely together, Rosh HaKrov Al Kirvay, and you have a minik that the Shuman Agid asas itam minik. So he says whenever you have a conflict between a real din and a minik, you don't say minik oika halach. You're not allowed to observe the minik. So all year long, 353 days of the Jewish year, the Jewish people are careful not to eat Shuman Agid. Once a year, on Leil Pesach, everybody eats Shuman Agid. So Shuman Agid is only a minig, and the minig is in conflict with the real din. You have to observe the real din. That's what the Poskim talk about. Rabbi Saul Gustman, who was a famous Rosh Yeshiva in America. So he has a tshuva at the end of the Sefer on Kiddushin about people who have a fertility problem. And sometimes the woman has to observe Shimon Akiyan only mitam minik. When I see Salach Mir al Atzman, Shafila Noah, Rose Kippers, Nam Tichal, Yos, and all Shimon Akiyan. So in the days of the Gemara says, Hechad the Nog, Nog, Hechad the Nog, 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 Salach Mir al Atzman. In the days of the Gemara, it was a minik. What about today? It's still only a minik. So that's a Machlokes HaRishayim. And you're a day, the shot points out, we pass from the Divan, this man says, it's also only a minute, it's not a real din. In some cases, Shimon Akim is a real din of the Rabban, sometimes only a minute. You have to know how to learn to figure out when is it only a din, when is only a minute, when is a real din. So if a couple has a problem, the husband has to fulfill peri verivya. And there's a problem, Nishom Din at minute, the woman has to wait Shimon Akim. She's going to wait Shimon Akim until she goes to mikveh. She won't be able to have any babies. It's only a window of opportunity when she can become pregnant, when she can conceive. So that's where Moshe Feinstein writes, we should be mishtamet. When they ask that Charlie, you should be mishtamet, the Rav shouldn't answer upside. But what do you do, Alokha Lamaisa? So Rav Guzman writes that he, on several occasions, rare occasions, he with Rav Moshe, with a third person, they would pass him that it's permissible for the woman to go to mikveh without the Shimon Akim, because sometimes Shimon Akim is only a minig. If it's a real dinder up on it, you have a problem. But sometimes it's only a minig. So whenever it's only a minig, it's a conflict with the real din. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah said in the Rambam, that whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, you have to observe the real din. You don't observe the minig. So getting back. When you have Schiras Payalim, if I hire, the Gemara has an example, I hire a group of workers to water the field. Then it comes in the morning, it was totally unexpected. It was pouring all night long, and there's no need to water the field. So the workers have no work to do in the morning. So what's the din? I told them to come in the morning. Then they come in the morning, there's no work to do. But it's not the fault of the balabas. If the balabas hires the workers and he said, come in the morning at 8 o'clock and do the work. And then at 8 o'clock the morning, balabas backs out. And now 8 o'clock, it's too late for them to go get another job for the rest of the day. So the balabas is mechuyev to pay them midina degarmi. He was mafsid them. They could have gotten a job by someone else. I mean, he told them to come in the morning, so it's his fault. But he was an oinus. It wasn't his fault. So you can't say he's mechuyev to pay them midina degarmi. The garmi is only, we pass him, garmi is only midirabbanim. Mechuyev is toisus in the Rabban. Toisus on the first daf in Baba Basra holds garmi. Is only a knas in the Rabbanah, but like comes to show God the Mason, so Tosis Sheet has got me, Bishoy gave his papa. The Rabban disagrees with Tosis, the whole country is Dina de Gami. He thinks the Gemara says, Rameh Doin and Dina de Gami, it's a real din, it's not a penalty in the Rabbanah. So the Rabban holds Gami is Minatoira, and Yechayiv even Bishoy. The Be'er Ragro says that according to the Rambam, that's exactly the difference between Grom and Gami. Whenever it's been Mason, it's called Grom, whenever it's Bishoy, because whenever it's b'mezid, it's called garmi, and whenever it's b'shege, then we call it grama. So the Bir Agol claims that the Rambam agrees with Tosfos, but lav mitamayim. Tosfos says that garmi b'shege is potter because garmi is only a penalty to the Rabban, who comes to show God b'mezid. And the Don Legoin says, but in the Rambam, that's a definition of grama garmi. Garmi is only when it's b'mezid. B'shege, then we call it grama. Tosfos has trouble. How do you define what's grama, what's garmi? Bir Agol thinks that the Rambam gave that definition. So again, so the balabas, let's say, over here, fellow's going to have a Pesach program, and he tells a whole bunch of waiters, I want you to come on Pesach and do the work. Then he comes Pesach, they have no work. The whole hotel is closed down. The government doesn't allow you to have anything. Or people rented a location to have a wedding, then because of the corona, the wedding doesn't take place over there. Maybe they have a private ceremony, but they're not going to have 300 guests at a wedding, so they're not going to need any waiters there. So the balabas hired workers, and then it comes out the workers can't do any work. So if it would be the fault of the gaf balabas, he backed out later. So you have to pay the workers. We didn't come here to maps of them. It's not his fault. They can't get a job anywhere. Being a waiter and all the hotels are closed down. It's not shayach. So the pashtus is that the balabas shouldn't be mechuyev to pay. Because the chiyuv, the Gemara has a machlekes, what is mechayev the balabas to pay the workers? And the first parak in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the second parak in Masa Machlekes, let's say I hire a painter to paint my apartment. And he says it'll cost $7,000 to paint the whole apartment. So when do I become mechayev to pay him the $7,000? Do you say, well, let's say I hire a worker to make a fancy takshit, to make a beautiful piece of jewelry or something, to do some job. So do you say, I agreed to pay him $7,000, so the last, he keeps on painting, the last thing that he pushes, that's mechayv, and that's called the maku shachron, the last clap. He's banging, the very last clap, maku shachron, is mechayv, the balabas, to pay the worker the full $7,000. That's if they say, Ein l'schiris el l'besof, or they say, no, yesh on l'schiris k'tchil v'yatsof, the pu'ula from the beginning to the end, every time he moves the paintbrush like this, the balabas comes b'lif to pay another proof, it all adds up to $7,000. That's if you say, yesh on l'schiris k'tchil v'yatsof. The Gemara has two nachmanis for kiddushin, but it's zorah. But they say, yesh on l'schiris k'tchil v'yatsof, or Ein l'schiris el l'besof. But nobody says that the agreement, I hired the workers, the hiring is mechayev me to pay. No, when he does the pu'ula, when he does the work, that's mechayev me to pay. Either the makos shachron, the last bit of work that he does, last stitch of work that he does, mechayev in the full amount. I agree to pay the waiters if they're going to come and wait on the, have a hotel, and they're going to have meals. starting 2 days before Pesach until 2 days after Pesach, and the whole Pesach is going to be for 12 days. The whole celebration, 12 days, and they're going to wake the work. The waiters are going to do all the work during the 12 days of Pesach. So do you say the last bit of the last stitch of work that they do is machay me to pay each way that whatever I agreed to pay? What do you say? No, yes, the worker is doing the work. You can't paint and say, give me $5 now. Then an hour later, give me another $20. That's when is the chiyuv to pay. When is there a schus tviya? When does the pearl have the right to get collect his money? But the Gemara has the machlekes, whether yeshem is chiyuv to pay itself, the mechayiv to pay is either from the beginning to the end or the very last stitch of work. If the person didn't do any work at all, so we assume there's no chiyuv to pay at all. If I hired him and then I back out the last minute, he can't get another job, I'm chiyuv to pay. That's because Medina de Gamra is mapsed him. That's Medina de Gamra. That's not Medina Schiris Pala. That's a Medina Adama Mazik Gamra. So the Pashbis is over here. If I hired a worker and it doesn't do any work at all, and it's not the fault of the Balabas, it was a Marcus Medina, it was an Inus. No one could have contemplated there's going to be such a market. At the time that he hired all the workers, no one could have contemplated. So the pashtus is, he's not mechuyev to pay the workers at all. And that percentage of whatever I paid in advance, I paid my $20,000 for one person, whatever, they charge a fortune of money. $20,000 for each person was going there to the hotel. So that percentage of the money that I paid in advance that's supposed to go to pay the workers, that I'll be pashtus, I should get, we'll have that money back. Because they have no right to charge me that money. Because the worker, they're not mechuyev to pay the workers. So they should give me back that amount of money. I remember quite a few years ago, Dr. Len Zichron Lebracha passed away already, taka from COVID. And while he was still president, so the university had to work out a policy of sick leave. Sometimes a professor is hired to give lectures and he takes sick in the middle of the term. So if he's sick 1 or 2 days, okay, so they give him his full salary, even though he missed. Well, he's going to be sick 95% of the time that he's supposed to teach. So is that fair? They will have to give him the full amount. So Dr. Lin was working at, they worked out with each group of professors in the graduate school, undergraduate school, each group. Then they had to work out with the rabbein, what should be the principle by sick leave. So when he had the meeting with the rabbein, so one of the rabbein said, wait a minute, the Gemara has a din. Moshe Rabbeinu says in the beginning, Chumash Dvarim, so the simple pshat is, I transmit a whole Torah to you. The Rabbeinu Shalom told me I have to tell you the Torah, so I transmit it all to you. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. In the same way, the Rabbanu Shalom taught me the Torah, I seen he didn't charge me tuition. So I taught the Torah to you without charging tuition. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to charge tuition for teaching Torah. So how come the Mishnah in the Dharm talks about the Malamed taking Schiras Pailah for teaching the children? So the Gemara gives two suggestions. When the children are young, so the Malamed in the days of the time used to teach with the trup. So the Gemara said there's a machlekes where the trup is their isa, their rabban. So if the old trup is their rabban, the Gemara says it's permissible to charge for teaching trup. Schar piece of time in, the trup is on it. If your old trup is on the rabban, then you're permitted to charge for that. That's what we say in the Zmiris on Shabbos. We say like that. We're not allowed to talk. Cross of the Shabbos and Dosh and Mechuba, so it says you should observe Shabbos midaber davar. You shouldn't talk about business on Shabbos. Let's say I want to hire a worker on Shabbos. So I negotiate with the worker. I'm going to pay him whatever, $100,000 a year. You're not allowed to make that arrangement on Shabbos. Common practice is that they talk. They say Nishlam Shabbos Geret. Are you willing to take a job? Nishlam Shabbos Geret. He wants more. Nishlam Shabbos. He wants less. But so you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to talk business. But it says, "Tinek l'alam d'sefer l'dvar mitzvah." You're allowed to. It's the Gemara beginning of Ksubis. So the question, "Tinek l'alam d'sefer," how is the Rebbe allowed to take any money at all? So it says, "Lam natzeh l'neginus." That's the next line in his mirrors, because you're paying for the trucks, schar pisik tayim. So the Gemara says, we don't paskin like that sheet. Even though that's a mizmiris, we don't paskin Rav Natzer Beginis. We paskin that the trup is their isa. We assume the chiv, I don't know if it means the trup, the actual nigan is their isa, but the institution of trup that you have to sing Kriyas HaTorah with a nigan that helps you understand the pshat and the chumash. The institution of trup is their isa. And the reason why the Malamed is permitted to take schiris if he's teaching young children, because the Malamed is also a babysitter. He watches, he disciplines the kids, he doesn't let them run around in the street. So in addition to being Malamed Torah that he teaches for nothing, but he's babysitting, he's watching his young babysitters all have children. But this is by Medvah Mamurma. If the children are younger and the Malamed is teaching Tanakh with the trup, so if the whole trup is the Rabban, he can charge for that. Or if the Malamed is a babysitter. If you're teaching all the children, I never take attendance at my Shia. I ought to. It's not right. I never take attendance. So I don't do babysitting. They don't attend. I don't do anything about it. And I don't teach any trup. Everything I teach is dinim deraisa. So what's my heter to charge? What's my heter to take? So it says in the Gemara, in the end of Ksubis, that you take schar batola. The yeshiva doesn't pay me not for babysitting, not for teaching a job. The yeshiva pays me not to take another job because I don't have any other job. The yeshiva pays me I shouldn't take any other job. So because I'm free all day long, I teach Torah. What I have nothing better to do. I'm going to quit my thoughts. So I teach Torah to the Tamil, but they really don't pay me for teaching the Torah. Anyone who teaches Torah to all the children is not getting schar shima, is not babysitting, is not getting schar piece of time, is not teaching Torah. It's a schar batala. All the rabbonim are paid schar batala. They're paid not to take another job. You have that in the world. Let's say one company is developing something, and another company is competing with them. They're competing who's going to come up with this new idea first. So sometimes one company will pay someone from the other company just to sit and twiddle his thumbs. Don't work for the other company. So they'll pay him schar batala. The pay, we don't need you to do work for us, but we don't want you not to do work for the other guy. So they pay him less. The other company will pay him $500,000 because they want to make a fortune because he's going to be working all day and all night to work on something. So now the other company competing pays him $100,000. You can do whatever else you want, but we're paying you $100,000 not to work for that company. So that's schar batala. Schar batala is less than the full amount that he would get. So schar batala you're permitted to take. So one of the rabbis pointed out to Dr. Lim, what do you mean, how much sick pay are the rabbis entitled to get? The rabbis are paid not to take a job. And when they're sick, they're doing what they're paid for. They don't take another job. It's understood that if they're in good health, they'll be happy to come and say shir in yeshiva every day. If the yeshiva administration is not happy the way they gave shir this year, so next year, they won't give many schar batala. But if the rabbi took sick, he wasn't able to attend. He did exactly what they told him to do. He didn't take another job. And he was free to teach. When he'll be able to, he'll be able to teach. So Dr. Lam said, case is closed. That's the end of the discussion. Nothing to discuss by the rabbi. They don't have to work out any details about sick leave because the rabbis are doing their job. When you get schar batala, you're doing the job. You're not taking the other job. So the arrangement that they have by the professors is only by the secular professors, those who teach Torah. They get paid schar batala, so there's not charged to talk about strictly what they're entitled to get, but they're not entitled to get. The din is that if you purchase an Eved Ivri, you buy an Eved Ivri for 6 years, machru bezen is nimka l'sheish. So what happens if the Eved Ivri, I paid a fortune of money to buy an Eved Ivri, I give the money to bezen gives it to the nignav. Nimka bigdei bezen, someone stole, so bezen sells him as an Eved Ivri for 6 years. So the bezin gives all the money to the nigna. So then I have the right to make the epidemic work for me. So what happens if the epidemic gets sick? 4 out of the 6 years he's sick and he doesn't know any work. So the Gemara says it's chayv la'ashlim. But cholosh sholosh and ro'avot sholosh, the end of the first parak, or the middle of the first parak in Kedusha. If he was sick for 3 years and he didn't work normally for 3 years, so then doesn't have to be mashlim. The Gemara learns it out from sukkim and the chumash. So Taisus had one opinion that if you have a malamed, you hired a malamed for a year, so if he was sick for more than half the year, then he's chayv l'hashlim. In the days of the Bali HaTaisa, they didn't have companies like we have. You have 150, you have 5,000 workers working for you all over the world. They didn't have such a thing. So the only situation that they had of a a worker was a malamed. The Tyson always talks about someone has a job working for someone. What job does he have? He's a malamed, teaching Torah to the little children. So Tyson talks about this, the malamed shechola. I mean, any worker shechola. So he signed the contract that he should be the malamed for 2 years, and for more than half of the time he was sick. So do you say, if he's sick for half the time, is he mechuyev l'hashlim, or is he dina k'eved ivri? He's not mechuyev l'hashlim. So there's one opinion in Tosfos that just like by an eved ivri, if chol a half and over half, chol a shalosh v'over shalosh, he's not mechuyev l'hashlim. So by a worker also, if he took sick for only half the time, he's not mechuyev l'hashlim. So Tosfos is not happy with that. They think that that's not true. By the eved ivri, you purchase the eved ivri, you own the eved ivri, go for kona. I own the eved ivri. So if it turns out that he really, even if he can't work at all for all the 6 years, he shouldn't have to be mashlim. I bought him, and I fell in. But so the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, if chol ha-sholosh, mavet sholosh, she doesn't have to be mashlim. If chol ha-mor, then he has to be mashlim. The Tosfos says, by poilim, they don't accept that opinion, that it depends chol ha-sholosh. We don't assume that when you have a poil working for you and they sign a contract, a year or 2 year contract, we don't assume that I bought the poil for the period of time, and if he's sick for half the time, it's okay. We don't assume like that. We assume that the mechayiv to pay shchiras poilim is either the makrush achray or the work that he did all along. So if he didn't do the work for whatever reason, I'm not mechayiv to pay. That's what we usually assume. That's the assumption. So that part of the money that I paid, let's say I paid in advance. So the percentage of the money that goes to pay the waiters, the balbas not mechayiv to pay the waiters. He's not mechayiv medina de garmi. He told me. They can't get a job anywhere else anyway. None of the hotels are not shaykh. And he didn't do it, but he passed on like Tyson. Gami is only b'shoigig. Gami is only b'mezid b'shoigig and not chayv to pay. So it's an oinus on the part of the balabos that the workers can't do the work. So they're not mechuyif to pay them. So that amount of the money, you have to prorate all the money that I pay. That amount of the money that goes to that percentage that goes to pay the workers, that they have to refund all the money to me because the balabas not mechuyev to pay them. They quote from the Chasam Sofer that there were epidemics during his lifetime, and he said that Yesha dictates that you should make some kind of a pshara with the poilim. You should pay them something. Okay, there's din, there's a psak din of din, and there's a psak din of pshara. Pshara, Rav Soloveitchik always used to say when he spoke about pshara, it does mean a compromise. I say you owe me $1,000, you say you owe me zero, so we divide it in half. So pshara doesn't mean a compromise, does mean arbitration. Pshara means, what does Yosha dictate? Sometimes there's a psak of din, sometimes there's a psak of Yosha. His name is Yosha Din. There's a pasuk, v'adat alam esaderecha she'elcha b'avas ha'maisa she'yasum, so they more learn that from that pasuk, that you have to go lefnim Yosha Din. Some of the Rishonim count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, that you should always try to go lefnim Yosha Din. So the Ramo and Choshe Mishpat, I think, same in Yudbeis, the same in about pshara. Quotes a machloek and sarishani, can you be kaifa people on the name Shiva Sadid? If a person doesn't want to eat matzah, doesn't want to sit in the silk and makanosa, and she takes an option, you force him to do it. And by pshara, by the name Shiva Sadid, there are more paskins, you're not kaifa. And yeshivas that usually say the beer, how come you're not kaifa on the name Shiva Sadid? Because if I'll be kaifa the fellow, he doesn't want to eat matzah, so we beat him up till he has no choice. Okay, he's going to eat the matzah. Even though he's upset about eating, he doesn't want to eat the matzah, but at the end of the day, he ate the matzah, so he was yotzei the mitzvah. Didn't have kavanah shalala, so he's yotzei the mitzvah. But if you got to be kaifam, let's name Shavuos Adin, he didn't do it, benedivus habayim. Then in the yeshiva, you say he's not even yotzei the mitzvah, let's name Shavuos Adin. Well, yotzei, if you do it, benedivus habayim. So it's not going to happen. It's going to be kaifah till a guy does it. He's not yotzei the mitzvah. So you were kaifahing for nothing. He didn't accomplish what you wanted. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah if he doesn't do benedivus habayim. So we pass, you're not kaifa on pshara, because you're not kaifa on let's name Yeshua. But the Chasam Sofer recommends that if there was an epidemic and the workers are mafsid, they didn't have any parnasa for a while, so you should make some kind of a pshara. I don't know, by the rabbis in the yeshiva, though, if the younger rabbis and they're getting paid because of schar shimur, so then they didn't do the shimur. But if they're teaching all the children in Schar Batala, the younger rabbis also have Schar Batala. So Schar Batala, they did their job. They didn't take any other job the course of the year. And they were available to teach. It's not shaykh to teach, but they were available. So then again, they did the job fully. So they should really be entitled to get paid. But any other work other than a Rebbe, the Pasha says, if he doesn't do the work, then he's not entitled to get paid any money. Shabbos, what about the rental on the hotel room? I rented a hotel, or let's say the food. So they charged me so much money for the maximum of food that you can possibly eat. Eat 10 times a day at these places. So you eat. So the maximum food is whatever, a few $1,000. They never gave me any food. I never got the food. So the Pashta says, you're not going to pay anything for the food. They never gave you the food. Pashta says, yeah, that you're entitled to a refund on that. The Shalos, what about the renting of the room? So that in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that that was a big machloikis in the days of the Rishai. The Maharam Rutenberg was the end of the period of the Bali HaTosfos. Maharam Rutenberg was Talmud of the Or Zeruah, who was the Talmud of the Rabbi Yudas Sein Leon. The tradition of the Bali HaTosfos, the Maharam Rutenberg's Talmidim with the Rosh and the Marzah, the Gos Maimon, see, usually the Rosh represents all the time the Bali HaTosfos. So the Maharam Rutenberg, Maharam Rutenberg was of the opinion that if an einus occurred, let's say a boy's going to get married in March and he rents an apartment already in December. He's not going to move into the apartment. So does he have to pay rent? Of course he has to pay rent. He's not going to move in till March after he gets it. He's staying in the dormitory now. He doesn't want to stay in an empty apartment all by himself. But he pays rent starting right away because he has the right to use the apartment. Let's say I rent an apartment, I never move in all year long. So I'm going to say, I never use it, so I don't want to pay rent, but you have the right to use the apartment. So therefore, you have to pay. The landlord had no right to rent it to anybody else because you rented the right to use the apartment. So here the shaila is, if I sell you a house and you made a kinyan on the house, and then after the kinyan was accomplished, then the whole house burns down. If I'm negotiating to sell you a house and the house burns down before you made the kinyan, so it's my house burned down. So I suffer the loss. If I already made the kinyan with you and the house belongs to you, then your house burned down. So then it's your hepsid. Even if you didn't pay me yet, let's say you made a kinyan shtar, you made a kinyan chazakah, well, you made up, you're going to pay $2 million to buy the house. You didn't pay yet, but the house burned down after you already made the kinyan, so it's your hepsid. The house belongs to you, it's your hepsid. So that's the question. What if I rented a house and I don't move in the house? I have the right to move into the house. I'm going to pay the rent. What happens if I drop dead in the middle of the month? So it's not shaykh. I can't move into the house. So do you say the Yorshim I'm going to pay for my estate? I rented the house for 2 years. So even I die within the first month, and that's I'm unable to use the house. My children have their own apartments. So do you say I rented the house for 2 years? The Gemara has a lush. Schirus is memkali yain. The Gemara says in Menegeh to the din of Oinoa. The pasuk has the din of Oinoa. Chisim karmim kala misecha kana miyan misecha if you sell or you buy. So we said before there's a machlokes in the Rishonim whether the din of Oinoa applies if you hire a worker. Is there a din of Oinoa? So some Rishonim say no. You're not selling. You're not buying. And the Rambam says, not so. The Rambam says, it is a din of Einoah, depends whether he's a poel or a kablan. If he's a poel, dinu ke'eved, and eved hukash le'karkos, so there's no penalty of Einoah. Yisrael is there by karko also. And if he's a kablan, then he's not hukash le'karkos. That's the Rambam's chiddush. That's why we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So that's if you hire a worker. But if you rent an apartment, the Gemara says, chiris menka le'yoymahi. When you rent an apartment, it's as if you bought the apartment this month. So just like if you buy a house, there's a din of Einoah, the Yisra I know with the penalty. So if you rent an apartment, there's a din of Einoah because Tchiris Men Kaliyah. So the Chuvas Rashba takes it literally. Tchiris Men Kaliyah. And even if an oinus occurs, even if the one who rented the apartment for the next 5 years dies, after a week he dies. So he's honest. It's impossible for him to use the apartment. If theoretically he could use the apartment, he never uses it for all the 10 years that he rented. He still has to pay the rent because he has the right to use it. But if he's honest, it's impossible for him to use the apartment. Then the Rashba says he's still mechuyit to pay because memkali yoma. Like I bought a house, and after I bought it, then the house burns down. Here, I bought a house for this month. The Gemara says the lashon is chivus memkali yoma. I bought the house for a month for 12 days of Pesach. So Schiris Memkari Emhi. So even though an einus occurred and I'm unable to use it, the Rashba says you mukhif to pay it for even though you didn't pay it. The person died in the middle of the month. That's the pay. And the Maram Rutenberg quoted by the Mordechai, usually the Rosh and the Mordechai goes, Maimini, the Talmidim of the Maram Rutenberg, when the government put him in prison because they want to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So they put him in prison, but they didn't claim he violated any Din of Mahusa. So they allowed the Talmidim to come every day, and he was telling them over Torah, and they wrote over the Psokim of the Maram Rutenberg that he gave from the prison. And in Shulchan Aruch they quote that on Shabbos, when the Talmidim would come to learn with the Maram Rutenberg, sometimes it would be chilly there, so they would ask the Goyim to make the fire. The guards were very nice. He wasn't a criminal. They were just holding him in prison in order to squeeze the Jewish community for the ransom money. So the Goyim were very nice. So you're permitted to do Amir Yakum and Bachum Chayla Shem B'Sakon. And not only if he already is a Chayla, Hako Chayla makes a lot sinner. If it's chilly and you're afraid you're going to catch a cold, so you're permitted to ask the Nochri to make the fire. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the whole story. When the Maharam was in prison, the Talmidim asked the Goyim to make the fire, and they did it in his mutter because Hako Chayla makes a lot sinner. So the Mordechai quotes this Maharam Rutenberg. He disagrees with this Rashba. They were contemporaries. After the Maharam Rutenberg died in prison, so the Rosh figured he's going to be next. They're probably going to put him in prison to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. He hid and he ran away to Spain, and he stayed by the Rashba for a week. And then he got a Rabbanus in Toledo. And that is Yeke, who didn't speak Spanish. And he was giving the Roshes in German. And he got the Balabatim, the Svarish Balabatim. He educated them to pick up all the Ashkenazi Menhagim with removing Sirchas and everything. That's how he introduced that the Rosh introduced all the Menhagim Ashkenaz into Svara when he became a Rav in Toledo. So they were shtickel contemporaries in two different countries at the same time. So this is a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah considers this as Sveka the Din. If the person rented an apartment and is an einus and he's unable to use the apartment, he dies in the middle of the time. There's a pandemic, and he simply can't go down to Florida to use the rental that he wanted to rent. Is he mechuyev to pay for the apartment or not? So that he rented a room and he can't use it. So that's a machlokes between the Maharam Rutenberg and the Chumash HaRashba. The Ramah considers it a sveka the din. So the Ramah says the din is hamotzi mechavera all of harayos. He says if the person already paid in advance for the apartment, then the balabas has the right to keep the money because he's muchzak on the money. If the balabas didn't pay in advance and he wants to get the money from the yarshim, he died in the middle of whatever. He didn't die. The einus occurred. So then, according to the Rashba, he mechuyev to pay. But the Ramah paskens that it's a sveka the din. So this case, on the one hand, it could be that we should treat it like that Ramah. That part of the $20,000 that they charge each person for going to Florida, so that section of the money, you have to prorate it. How much goes for the food? That you're not going to pay anything because you never got anything. And how much do you have to pay for the workers? That part you're not going to pay at all. Not exactly true. You don't have to pay the waiters, but the balabas was running around. Balabas, you're paying him also, Skiris Poyalev. He's running around to hire workers. He did a lot of work before. So part of the money, part of the $20,000 that you're paying is because the balabas ran around to get speakers and to get the musicians and to get the waiters and so on and to make negotiations. So that part of the work he did before Pesach, so that he's entitled to get paid that share. For the work of the waiters who didn't begin to cook anything, so that the balabas not mechuyev to pay, so you're not mechuyev to pay the balabas for that either. But the work that the balabas did, he do have to pay. He did it already. But as far as renting the room, so that the pashta says that the Ramah paskens, whoever is mechuyev keeps the money. Shaila is done like this. Let's say I rent an apartment, and then let's say the heat, the system, the boiler breaks. There's no heat in the winter. So it's understood that he's mechuyev to provide me with an apartment that's usable. If the heat doesn't work, if it's his fault that the heat doesn't work, he doesn't want to fix it. So I don't have to pay him rent. I don't have to pay the full amount of the rent. I'm going to have to buy my own heater to keep myself warm. I can certainly deduct significantly from the rent. Or let's say the building is infested with cockroaches or whatever, and it's the balabas's responsibility to make it livable, and he doesn't do his chaybas, or the water system collapse. Something breaks in the building, and unfortunately they have in the newspaper that some of the worst landlords who are most in violation in New York City are religious Jews. It's very unfortunate. So if it's the landlord's responsibility to provide me with a usable apartment, and the apartment is not usable, if it's his fault, then I'm not mukhayef to pay the rent. So that's a shaila. What if it's an oinus? It's not the fault of the landlord. He can't provide me with an apartment. It's not that I have an oinus, I can't go to Florida to spend time. He can't provide me with an apartment there because it's against the law. The government won't allow anybody to go there. So he's honest that he can't provide me. So that's a discussion in Rishonim and in Achronim. What's the din of a samakas medin? So if I buy a house and then it burns down, the house already belongs to me, then it burns down. So it's my tough law, it's my loss. If the balabas rented me a house and then an oinus occurs just to the house, so then there was a machlokes between the Rashban and Maram Ritmerg, whether I'm chayv to pay or not. So that's the stake of the dina. But over here, the balabas is unable to provide me with a decent house because of an oinus, but the oinus is not a local oinus, it's a makas medina. Everybody in the whole city, everybody in the whole state, the whole United States, all the states were, it's mamsha makas medina. So that's a big discussion, big debate in the Rishonim. What if it's a makas medina? Can you really say mazlo? The Gemara's lashon is mazloch garam. If you already bought the house and then it burns down, so mazloch garam. The mazloch garam is the reason, or it's just a comment? So some Rishonim are saying mazloch garam is the reason why you don't have to pay. But if it's not his mazlo, you can't say it's the tough mazlo of the renter. Everybody's suffering. It's a makas medina. So some Rishonim say, then you don't pay anything at all. But that's a big machlokes. They quote the Ravon, who was, I think, one of the ancestors of the Rosh. The Rosh quotes the Ravon as one of his rabbin. So the Ravon holds that you split it 50-50. You can't pin the blame on anyone. You can't say it's his bed mazel. You can't say it's my head mazel. So the Ravon holds that you split it 50-50. But that's a big shaila in recent poskim, if it's a makas medina. So somehow that if it's a makas medina, the tenant is not the tenant. Somehow you should split it like the Ravon. Somehow that it's a sfeika d'dina. So whoever is muchsok should keep the money. So that's a big machlokes among the recent poskim in our generation. How to be machriya in this issue? This shayla. If it was a makas medina that everybody suffered, no one can use any apartment anywhere. So do you say the landlord is not able to provide me with a reasonably usable apartment because of the pandemic? So I'm not mukhayef to pay anything. But you say, no, it's not the fault of the landlord. It's a makas medina. You can't say it's his bed mazel. Everybody suffered. So that's a makas. So some say, mikra din yachloiku. That's the Rabban holds, mikra din yachloiku. Others say no, he's badai pota, others say no, badai chayiv. And many hold that it's a sleike edina, because it's kosher l'achriya. Very complicated issue. I was not involved in any of these dine Torah at all. As I mentioned before, they quote the Chasam Sefer that when there was an epidemic during his lifetime, he has tshuvas about the epidemics. During the lifetime of Rebbe Kavei, there was also an epidemic. And he didn't allow the people to sit in shul. He felt that you need social distancing. He didn't know, 6 feet. So he said, every other seat has to be empty in the shul. So he said, they printed all the guidelines that Rebbe Kavei gave. Everyone has to wear a mask. And every other seat has to be empty. Whoever comes to shul, Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, every other seat is empty. They're not allowed to come on Yom Kippur. Whoever comes on Yom Kippur, not allowed to come on Rosh Hashanah because every other seat had to be empty. Didn't know about Har Chokah of 6 feet. and they saved many Jewish lives at that time. And they said they have to be bekatza the davening. After the bridge of davening, going to leave out a lot of the piyutim, Rosh Hashanah Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah, I think they started davening 5 in the morning and they locked the shul at 10 o'clock. Only 5 hours. From 5 in the morning to 10 o'clock, they locked the shul. That's cutting out all the piyutim from 5 to 10 in the morning. And the king of Prussia, gave an award to Rebbe Kivegin for saving lives, and he told the Goyim they should follow the good rabbi. They would have had less casualties. They would have had healthy people. They should have all followed Rabbi Kivegin. He was honored by the government because he introduced, the government did not introduce these harchakas. Rabbi Kivegin introduced them. So the Chassam Sofer also, Chassam Sofer lived in Hungary at the time. Rabbi Kivegin lived, I think, in Germany, Austria, whatever it was, in Poznan. It was a yekke. So the Chassam Sofer also writes that they say you have to wear a mask, and if you're going to fast, and you're going to walk out into the street without eating anything in the morning, so it's a sakonas nefashas. So you have to eat before you go to shul on Yom Kippur. So he says, stay home. Who tells you to go to shul? Stay home and don't eat. You're not allowed to eat in order to go to shul. Stay home and don't eat. Chassam Sofer lived through Bariv Gevega. Chassam Sofer, they lived through epidemics like this. Chassam Sofer was the one, they called Chassam Sofer, recommended that as far as all of these issues, they should always make pshuras. You shouldn't pass him a din. You should encourage both of its daughter. The Mursa should always encourage both parties to agree to pshara. But again, pshara doesn't mean you split in half. Pshara means you pass him whatever Yosha dictates. Sometimes Yosha dictates 100% in favor of one. Sometimes Yosha dictates 100% in favor of the other one. Years ago, used to have dinei Torah in the yeshiva. A lot of times on Sunday, Balabatim would come and had dinei Torah. So they would pick the first three. The truth of the matter, you go to any yeshiva, you pick the first three rebbes that you bump into, you're going to get the same sock when you go to Torah Vadasa, Chaim Berlin, and why you going to pass them the same. The people don't realize that, so they waste time till they pick Zebar Leyecha, Zebar Leyecha, they pick a crooked Dayan who's going to push in their direction. If they would pick the first three rebbes, they bump into an yeshiva, you're going to get an honest sock, whatever yeshiva, you're going to get the same sock all over. So I remember one occasion by Benji Yudin, two balabatim from his shul who had a dispute in Dimamas, a few million dollars of real estate ASIC in California. And they came, he didn't want to get involved. They were both balabatim in his shul, so he brought them to the yeshiva on a Sunday afternoon. And he picked the first three rabbis he bumped into in the yeshiva. My seat is right near the door. That was one of the first three rabbis that he bumped into. The other two rabbis were further into the base Spanish. So we listened to the whole argument. We passed 100% in favor of one of them. That's the din, and that was the yosher. That was the pshara. The pshara doesn't have to mean a compromise. Sometimes 100% in favor of one, sometimes 100% in favor of the other one. So Rachid told the story that once Reb Chaim had it in Torah, that there was a Jewish maid who worked for a couple. She was not a wealthy woman. She didn't make that much money. She had one beautiful piece of jewelry. So the balabasta was the one going to a wedding. So she asked the maid, can she lend her a piece of jewelry? He said, of course. So she lent her a piece of jewelry and she assured his chai beyonce. And so the balabasta lost it at the wedding. They were looking, they couldn't find it. So then it's assured his chai beyonce. Even if Shamasoch is chai beyonce. So the balabasta, the maid wanted the balabasta to pay. But on the other hand, it was balavima. The balabasta, when she lent the piece of jewelry, the maid, when she lent the piece of jewelry to the balabasta, was washing the dishes. She was all day long. She was working for the balabasta. That's a din of balavima. If the mashiel is in the employ of the shayal at the time that she's giving him the cotton, so that's a din balavima that you put her. So Chaim encouraged them to agree to a pshara, and they both agreed. He said the pshara is the balabasta should pay 100%. Because the din of Baladim is a peladikidim. Sachok, we don't really understand it. Rabbi Hirsch has in his commentary, Chumash, Shimshon HaFor Hirsch, tries to make sense out of it. But it's a peladikidim. Yosha dictates that you should pay. So Rabbi Chaim got both parties to agree from Pshara, said the Pshara is that you should pay 100%. Pshara doesn't always mean that you divide 50-50. It doesn't always mean you divide. Even you don't have to give in anything. Sometimes the Pshara is 100% in favor of the one who's right al-bidin. Sometimes the Yosha dictates 100% in favor of the other one. Sometimes the Yosha dictates to make some kind of a compromise somewhere in between. Not necessarily always going to be 50-50. So that's what the Chassam Sefer recommended, that during the epidemic, when no one was able to get any work done, he recommended that they should make some kind of a pshar in these kind of dinim terms. Very difficult, asokim. But there are dinim shulchan aruch, but there's so many different opinions. And that's why the psak will usually be either pshara or a sfeikah d'dinah, whoever is muhsik keeps. We should all have a good tevach. We should all be healthy for many years.